All right, all right. You know, one of my favorite topics in life is about how we overcome adversity, how we rise up to the moment and take on challenges that people don't think we belong taking on. Like, how do you defy the odds? And that excites me so much because I think a lot of my life, probably like your life, is about defying odds, getting to the next level. And when you get to the next level, owning it like you always belong there. And that's why I'm super excited to talk with Nathan Gerby. Now, Nathan, at 5 feet 4 inches tall, he is the second shortest player in NHL history, but that didn't stop this dude. Nathan, welcome to the Toddcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. And you're right. There's kind of a not a day in my life where I haven't gone through adversity, and I know that's going to continue to come, but you know, equipped with a pretty strong mind, I think you can get through anything. I'm proven history to do that, so.
Right. I've got a hat that I wear often. It's tested and proven, it says on there. And I like resonate off, like people like you are my kind of people that I like to emulate. Look, for people who aren't NHL fans, Nathan plays for the Columbus Blue Jackets and was at the Carolina Hurricanes and the Buffalo Sabres in the NHL. Dude, what's it like being an undersized underdog in a league of alpha males with a few teeth?
Well, I guess besides the pictures that go around viral on the internet, I don't think about it too much. When I step on the ice, I know all the preparation, all the work that I've gone through is going to overcome my size. So I'm not too worried about my size. I know the amount of work that goes into the game. And I know guys on the ice, they haven't gone through what I've gone through. So that's a little bit of a mental and physical edge for me.
Beautiful. Let's talk about this for a second. The mental edge, people haven't gone through what you've gone through. Tell me about that, dude. What have you gone through that has made the size disadvantage not exist?
Well, I think as a young kid, you know, I got my mom and dad are, you know, they obviously I was small. I didn't grow up this huge kid and stop growing. So the whole time I've been small. So I've been able to adapt with every level that I've been at. And my dad, you know, he's done a good job with pushing me, telling me to have no fear, go after the bigger guys. There was sometimes he would make rules like the start of the game, I have to grab the biggest guy and fight. And that's just to show I had no fear in the ice. For me, it's playing bad games or having bad practices and running home, pushing the car home, going through things with physical adversity that I know nobody else did in those locker rooms. So when it came time to get on the ice, I was ready to roll.
Now, do you see yourself like as the same size as these dudes? And the reason I ask is my best friends growing up were all guys that won college national championships in volleyball. Several of them played on the US Olympic team, then went on to play pro beach volleyball. And those are the guys I went to bars with and grew up with. And I don't have a concept that I'm not 6'4" and tan. How do you perceive yourself when you're out there?
I feel like I play a really big game. I might be 5'4", but I kind of run around and I'm willing to do anything. I'm willing to go through something 6'6". It doesn't, you know, for me, it doesn't matter because when it gets on the ice, you're so competitive that you don't care. You block anything out and you know you're going to have the drive and the will in those battles.
Now, I look at opportunities like combat principles in the modern Japanese art of Aikido, and where you can actually manipulate the opponent's assault by using effective combat tactics that uses their size to their disadvantage or whatever their strength is. How do you like, do you use stuff like that in your mind when you've got a competitive advantage because you're not lumbering around with all that body weight?
Well, I'm quicker. I'm quicker. I'm able to escape. You know, when I go into corners, usually it's where the physical presence is going to be. I'm able to play lower, which makes it even harder to hit me. So there are many. Yeah, they're being small is I use a lot to my advantage that big guys can't do. So. And I know how to frustrate them, which comes handy.
Now, I saw you. I don't know, dude. I was checking out some of your videos, watching you skate, and how natural your game is, just beautiful. But
Thank
I
you.
saw you meet Goliath in a confrontation up against the boards. And when I saw you jumping up to slug this guy, I started cheering because, you know, I'm David also trying to slay Goliath. What's the experience like where, you know, you can't back down from an experience like that, right? Like you've got to hold your ground and show that you deserve to be there and that they need to take you seriously, right?
Oh, absolutely. And that started from a young age for me. Like I said, I was even, you know, younger, 10 years old. That's when my dad had me grab the biggest guys and fight to start games. Like that, he would tell me my first shift, I want you to grab the biggest guy and go. And it's like, oh, okay. You know, as a young kid, you just do it, but you grow up with that mentality. And yeah, you don't care. I'm confident the training and the strength that I put in, I can hold many guys. I can at least, I'm not going to say beat guys, but at least I can hold my own and not get knocked out.
Now, Nathan, when you were growing up and advancing in the different hockey levels, what were some of the limiting beliefs that coaches or teammates had about you? Things that you heard that still to this day you use as fuel?
Yeah, you know, as an athlete or anyone who wants to keep performing and keep growing and getting better, you have to put obstacles in your mind to overcome. And me as a kid, obstacles were my size. They were questioned every step along the way. He's good here, but he'll never play in juniors. He's good in juniors, but he'll never play in college. You know, he's good in college, but he'll never last professional hockey. So you hear that every step along the way. And, you know, it's kind of just noise to me. I've never really let external factors, you know, disrupt what I believe in internally. You know, I have my beliefs and I know my strengths. So, you know, external factors aren't going to really bother me too much.
Do you fuel off of them?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. You'd be lying if I said no, but yeah, I mean, I get in anger. I get, it's a good feel. You know, you put it in the right direction and it gets you going.
Yeah. Nathan, I've been quite public about this, but I kept it secret for about 40 something years until my career took off and it became undeniable. But, growing up through grade school, I struggled with learning disabilities and attention disorders. And I actually overheard a guidance counselor tell my parents that I'll be lucky if I graduate from high school, but college is out of the question. Yeah. And for me, dude, that's fuel. Like, watch out. That's all I need is to prove that guidance counselor wrong. You know?
Well, that's what separates a lot of people, right? Like some people will crumble. Some people will believe it. And then there's others who just won't believe it. You know, you have this internal belief that you can do something and that's powerful.
You play against guys that have the physical gifts of God, right? They can just do whatever they need, but they don't have the same mental training. Their knives haven't been sharpened the way yours has upstairs inside of your dome. You've got a serious advantage that a lot of people don't. How is that? That just makes you stronger, doesn't it?
I really believe so. You know, it's funny. I'm going on my 13th year playing and time goes by fast, but you realize guys who are able to play longer and longer, they have that mental edge. Guys who maybe fizzle out after a couple of years, you can see it. You know, it's the habit daily. It's doing every day. Kind of, I guess, is what helps me keep saying it mentally. And it's continued work. As you know, mentally, you don't just stop after a week or a month or a year. You know, you deal with mental challenges every single day on different scales. And for me, I take those on, I battle them, and I try to win those outcomes in my head. So I think that's very important for anybody.
Now, you have a cult following of fans that are people that see themselves as underdogs. They're people that follow your career wherever you plop down. What is, you know, I know you're 13 years into the NHL career, but where do you take this like mental edge training and where do you take it to the next level when your hockey career is done so you can help lift people up?
Well, you know, what's funny is that when I've been able to dissect hockey life, we're talking about the same habits. We're talking about the same attributes. I'm going to continue that. There's no difference to what I go do in my job. There's no difference to what you do in your job. The skill set, what we do is different, but the same habits, the same, you know, attributes every single day, there's no difference. So for me, it's just, you know, directing that into outside of hockey, which I'm starting to do. And, you know, I really believe I make a huge impact in a lot of people's lives. And that's what I'm going to do. I believe that's my next calling. I don't think God put me here to be the, you know, the second smallest player in the NHL, but he, you know, led me on this journey. But I'm going to share this journey. It's not about me. This journey is about how many people I can, you know, uplift and inspire. Cause I, man, I really want people to believe in themselves, because we'd be a much better world if that happens.
Yeah, you're kind of like a modern day Invincible story, the movie that so many of us love about the NFL player that walked onto the Eagles and, you know, and persevered in the face of adversity. It feels like you've got a long career of motivating people and helping them create habits on a daily basis that allow them to take on challenges. What are your daily habits like that allow you to slay dragons out there on the ice?
I'm a robot, I tell you. Usually I'm up around 4:30. Depends if I have to train. Depends if I have schooling to do, because I'm doing school on the side. So I have four young kids, so time management is my largest priority. So I usually, get up at 4:30. I you know, I get into our cold tub here. It's about 30 to 35 degrees. Again, it's just something for your mind to continually do every day, because you don't want to do it. Triggering your mind to act, not think or not hesitate, and, you know, carry on throughout my day. Then it's, you know, training with hockey, then it's schoolwork, then it's time with my wife and time with my kids. I'm pretty regimented, but I don't stray too far ever from that. And there's all these little things that I'll do, whether it's visualization mentally, you know, understanding what's in my head, what kind of thoughts, how to change them. Those are huge things to have, but to feel that presence, I try to do it daily.
You don't negotiate with yourself. Like Tony Robbins explains, the reason he does the plunge pool first thing in the morning is so he doesn't negotiate with himself, and he trains his mind, you know, that he's in charge and that his goals are going to be achieved. And it sounds like you've got a similar approach, the way that you drive and inspire yourself to get done what needs to be done.
Yeah. You know, for a long time, I could never put words to my actions. I could never understand why I'm doing these things, but I kind of knew why I was doing them, just because I knew how I felt mentally. You know, dating back, people used to say, why do you wake up at 4 to train? I don't understand. It doesn't help you for hockey. Well, I know that. I'm not training for hockey. I'm training for life here. I'm training for, you know, what's going to be after, because, you know, as we talked about, there's different adversities that hit you, you know, left, right, center. Some may be small, some are large. So what I do daily is to prepare and get ready for that, and to take on those battles. And, you know, through that, like you said, like Tony Robbins says, you don't, it's not negotiation. It's I'm doing this, whether I like it or not. I know it's good for me in the long run.
Beautiful. You know, as we speak about Tony, tomorrow I'm, as we record this, because this isn't live, tomorrow I'm on Tony's Date with Destiny live broadcast, where I'm announcing for the first time that Tony has selected me to be one of his business mastery speakers starting in March.
Oh, that is awesome.
And I'm so fired up about it, dude, because I'm like you. I'm this little engine that can and won't be stopped. And I have, probably like you, I'm willing to bet that you visualized seeing yourself play in the NHL your entire life, and your daily habits and commitments got you there, just like I always visualized myself, even with learning disabilities and attention disorders, speaking on the largest stage in the world.
Yeah, that's awesome. Congratulations. And you know what's funny about this journey is that getting onto Date with Destiny for you, or getting to the NHL for me, That was just like an end result, but I guarantee you remember every single day that you worked up to that. You know, you remember the grind, the journey that led to that result, and that means much more to you than that, you know, one day or week result. For me, playing in the NHL was, oh, okay, this is cool. But I remember every day pushing cars. I remember running home from games. You know, I remember working out or skating even after my games when I got home. And that's what built me, you know, the journey built me, not the end result.
Yeah, you are so right, dude. You fire me up. Thank you so much. Hey, Nathan, where can people find out more about you?
I'm on Instagram, social media, Twitter. You know, I'm getting a little bit more active. I'm a little uncomfortable speaking into the camera about myself, so I'm not good that way yet. As most people don't really want to speak speak about themselves. But my next step is to inspire. My next step is to make a big difference in this world. And I think through talking, through, you know, getting people to realize change in their life is the way to do it.
Beautiful, dude. Super inspiring. He's Nathan Gerby. He's a stud on the Columbus Blue Jackets. But more than that, the guy teaches all of us how to overcome adversity and to play larger in life than we really are. Nathan, thanks for joining me on the Toddcast.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. And good luck with Tony and congratulations.
Thank you, brother. Congratulations to you too. I'm going to continue to follow your path. And thank you so much for your time today, bro.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
All right. Take care, dude. Bye-bye.